You know, the fact is, in our lives, the biggest struggles you have, your highest challenges, your biggest disappointments, your biggest joys, your hardest hardships, the highlights of your life are all connected to family. And your approach to your role in community changes the outcome. Now, we're going to talk about this for the next couple weeks. We have a lot to talk about, but today's message is about a simple principle. Nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. Nothing on your to-do list is more important than the role that you have in being an instrument in God's hand to form a human soul. Now, we're going to talk about family, and I'll admit this is uncomfortable for me. My comfort zone is opening the Bible and telling you what the Bible says, because it's easy. You could check up on me and see what the Bible says. I don't like telling you about how to do family, because you can hear what I say and you could check my family and see how well I'm doing. It's intimidating, so check back when Luke graduates from high school, we can see how we're doing. But right now, I'm not really ready for that kind of scrutiny. So what I'm doing is, just to be upfront, I'm learning from the smartest people I could find. And today I'm giving you a lot of what one of my professors, Paul David Tripp, has taught. If you're really interested, I recommend the book. You can find a lot more. But I'm really good at opening up the Bible, but I'm really still learning as a parent. In fact, I'll just say, if you want to talk to an expert in parenting, find someone in this room with great grandkids, or look, even someone with average grandkids, I'm not too picky. But if you want to find help with family or conflict, let me start here. Let me just tell you the kind of scenarios that lots of families have walking into a counselor's office. Here's one. On one Tuesday night, walking into the counselor's office, you find that your two-year-old, under no pressure or threat, she will not eat her peas. Anyone else have a kid like this? And you're not asking her to eat poison. They're little round vegetable orbs. No one knows why she's having such a big deal. It's silly, but it is wrecking your family life. What do you do? It's frustrating. But here's another one. You can't believe you get another note from the teacher. It's the fifth note from the teacher in 2 weeks, and he's only in second grade. And no one can figure out why, but he won't stop talking in class when he's supposed to be listening. He talks when the teacher talks, when the other students are talking, when he's eating, during nap time. Your kid talks when you're trying to talk to him about talking too much, and you thought sending him to school would make your life easier. What do you do next? All right, I don't like this one at all. You go to a movie, the one thing your family loves doing, and the previews made it look like a fun family comedy, but it's filled with sexual innuendo from the beginning to the end. You don't even know how the movie ends because you're just trying to figure out what to say next. As a parent, how do you handle what your kids just watched? If you start talking to them, will you be opening up a can of worms? Are you ready for that? Are they ready? How do you talk about it? What do you do next? That's a challenge, right? What's next? Oh, she finishes college, and now she's at home while she looks for a job. She's a graduate, and you enjoyed your empty nest, but now it's not empty. And you're looking at her room and her friends and how she's spending her time, and you're really not sure if she's ready to be an adult yet. You've got mixed emotions. It was fun having the house to yourself. You kind of miss the kids, but now she's back and it's different. She still needs you, if only for guidance. She needs help, but you don't know if she knows that. So every night you try and go to bed at your normal time, but you don't sleep until you hear the door and you know she's finally back safe. You're so tired and you're so thankful she's safe, but what do you do as a parent? Being a parent is a challenge. Ooh, one more. You're haunted by regret. You don't want to be, you tell the counselor, but you're full of regret. Not about anything big, but about all the little moments that you missed. You remember all the little promises that you made that you were too busy to keep. You think about the times you yelled when you should have listened. You remember how hard it was to be a parent, and how many times you failed, the times you fell asleep during the recitals and hoped they never found out. You remember the threats you made. You hope they don't remember, but you know you do. You tell the counselor about that time you kicked all the kids out of the van and said you wouldn't let them back in until they started behaving. You remember that it's so easy to make threats. You wish you didn't have regrets. but you've got them. And the counselor gets to hear all these things, and the counselor who gave these to me said, all these scenarios are about one thing. You know what it is? He said, those scenarios and whatever frustrations you have, being a mom, being a dad, not being a dad, not being a mom, being annoyed with your kids, being just whatever it is, all of that is about a calling. You may not realize it, but your internal frustration and disappointment is all pointing to one of the most significant missions that a human being could ever get. If you just think about that for a second, how big of a role that reminds you of, it is intimidating. You would run away from it if you really thought about it. He says, it is kind of crazy to think about the fact that you could actually raise kids well. It has a quality, he says, of standing before a skyscraper, telling yourself you could pick it up if you want to. It's a massive calling. In fact, it's easy to think maybe God made a mistake to ask normal people like us to help form human souls. Now, what we're going to do for the next couple weeks is we're going to talk about it, talk about how parents, not just biological parents, but how a church community has a calling that is nothing short of changing the lives of people. This is a big topic, but today I've got a really simple, short, concise point. I want you to see the enormity of God's plan and for you to see what it looks like to raise the next generation. Let's zoom out a bit. Now, the call that you have in your life is bigger than just dealing with tough kids. In fact, everything that you say in your life, every choice you make, all the things you prioritize that get you excited or make you upset, it reflects your heart. There's a very easy way of explaining why people act the way they do. And it's as simple as saying is we all act out of our values. What we say, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, your relationships, your habits, your relationships, all of that together paints a picture of what you really value. This is what Jesus teaches in Matthew 6. Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And here it is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what you value affects your heart. Where your heart is at affects your joys, your sadness, where you put energy, your choices. It's all about where your heart is. It's all about what you value. And Jesus uses this verse to point out what's true. Every person deep down is living in pursuit of treasure. We're all treasure seekers. We wake up, we dig deep, and we want something. And we might all want different things, but the way we speak and behave is our attempt to work out what we value, what we think's important. And it's hard to accept, but it's got to be said. Making a difference in the lives of other people sometimes looks like sacrificing other things we want to do. Something as simple as loving your neighbor, as raising kids. It's either something you value or it's not. And your choices, words, schedule, checkbook, all of that shows if you value this mission or not. Now back to parenting. I think one of the challenges is that all of us have competing treasures. One of the hardest things is balance. Like you talk to some parents in a counselor's office, and their problem is they're too controlled by possessions. There are people with messed up kids because they're too busy pursuing stuff that they choose that over kids in ways that sometimes hurts them. Or sometimes success and goals becomes that treasure that competes with raising kids. And the crazy thing is God actually designed all of us to be stewards of things, to maintain houses and treasures. You're designed to build, to manage, to make stuff, to change stuff, to make things better. Part of being made in the image of a creator is doing work to achieve, to strategize, to make the world a better place. Like, that is all part of what God imprints in us. But that can also compete with the task of helping other people when it rules our lives like it was never supposed to. Now, I don't need to tell any parents about this. Good moms know exactly what it's like to have to prioritize kids. Because good moms, good parents struggle to say no to themselves because they're called to be parents. I make this joke every time I do a wedding, right? I have a bride and a groom up here. They're looking at each other, all googly-eyed, all dressed up, and there's bridesmaids and groomsmen. And it doesn't really work because these couples don't hear a word I say. But I make the joke. I say that the vows, the ceremony, the paper, the party, I say it's all a test to see how much you're willing to give to the other person looking at you. What I usually say is marriage is an experiment in discovering how selfish you are because you're constantly having to compromise. And then I make the joke, well, as soon as you think you've got it figured out, you get kids, and then you discover how selfish you are all over again, and it's a joke, but nobody laughs because it's true, because raising kids is a difficult task. This is why we take a day to honor moms. Because moms, maybe more than anyone else, have to say no to themselves for their kids. This is such a big deal that I'll say that the value of parenting goes to what God's designed, I mean, not just for moms, not just dads, every human being. I want to open up Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a maybe familiar but profound passage. It's Moses. He's giving a sermon. The entire nation of Israel is assembled. And here's what he says. This is huge. Hear, O Israel, it's Shema, if you know that term, big national address. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Then Moses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your heart. Now let me just set the scene here. This is a massive rally. This is God speaking through Moses at the start of a nation, starting a brand new national constitution. They've left Egypt. They're about to go to the promised land. This is what a brand new nation looks like. Everybody's there. So kids, parents, grandparents, singles, teens, widows, orphans, everybody in the whole nation is standing before Moses. And this is big, powerful language here. Things like there's a God. There's a God who loves you. You should obey him. This is in 3 points. Theology 101, and there's a lot of theology written. If I were writing a theology book, I might start here with there's a God, you should love him, you should obey him. And I have read like tens of thousands of pages of theology, and you can go to a million different topics. I have never read a theological book that goes the way the Bible does here. If I were writing a book on theology, I'd talk about, here we go, there's a God, you should love him, you should obey him. So next I'd talk about scripture, if that makes sense. Or I'd talk about, I don't know, the Trinity, or election, or salvation, or repentance. Like there are 1,000 topics you talk about in theological books that I've read before I've read this one. Follow me here for a sec. The outline goes, there's a God, you should love him, you should obey him. And I would have said, you should be impressed. I would have said you should impress God on nations. I would have said you should impress his commandments on society, nations, philosophers. I would have said you should be impressed. Instead, look what God does here. This is shocking because he goes from this is the fact, there's a God, love him, obey him, to see what the next thing he says is. The next topic, this doesn't belong here. Impress them on your children. Like Moses goes, okay, there is such thing as God. You should love him, you should obey him, and you should impress him on children. That's a big deal to God. And I'll just read the rest of it. Talk about them, so talk about God when you sit at home, when you walk, when you're on the road in the minivan, when it's breakfast time, when it's put the kids to bed to time, decorate your house. Moses just said, saturate the next generation with who God is. And let me be crystal clear. Again, this is not like a parenting Sunday school class. This is Moses at a historical address starting a new country and says, like, well, what he says here is important. And in the Bible, the next thing they do is they start a new nation. They're building an economy, a defense, a culture. Look, me, I would come up with a bunch of other things if we're talking about, like, what you're doing at mealtime, right? I'd say impressing God on kids is we're going to have a separate breakout session for moms and dads, right? I wouldn't do it in a session like this. We're going to do a small group. We're going to do a seminar at the preschool. Me, if I talk about parenting, I go, I don't want people to feel left out. Not everybody's a parent. God is like, no, nobody's left out. Like, everybody has this job. Raising a kid is important enough to talk about on the big stage. Parents, non-parents, young people, old people, widows, orphans, like whoever. God doesn't seem that the task of raising the next generation is limited to people who've got kids in preschool. This is a plan for God's people. And by the way, in ancient Judaism, so when the Israelites were walking around, when a child was born into a community, they were a child of the community. In fact, in our tradition, we symbolize this in baptism. So when we do a baptism, what we're saying is, this baby, this child, is part of our church. What we do together, we say, you know, you're their parent, you're their parent, you're their parent. We're all helping to raise these kids. When we do baptism, we promise to together raise kids that may not be ours biologically. Here's the big point I want to talk about today. God has met you so that you can pass on God's glory and grace to other people. And you could find lots of opportunities to do this. Kids have built-in curiosity. Why does water boil? Why does the sun come up? Why is there a storm? Why does food taste good or bad? Why do bees always buzz around? Like, curious kids give you 1,000 opportunities to point to what God made. And your calling as a human being, as a parent, is to communicate, impress God on kids. And I don't think anything that you could do is more important than this. And we're going to talk about, for the next 3 weeks, how to do this, how God blesses us, overflows our cup so we could bless other people. And we're going to challenge not just as parents, but as a community, how to make the community better. So come back next week. We'll talk about this a little bit more. Today, I just want to leave this as a very, very simple point. The mission of helping the next generation is incredibly important for the future. Back to Deuteronomy, I mean, Moses is building a nation with long-term goals like culture, ethics, economy, defense, and he is convinced that there is a correlation between God's blessings and how a community raises kids. And Moses doesn't give this task just to parents. He thinks it's something that everybody should do. If you're part of a local church like this one, you have lots of opportunities to do this. You've already heard from some parents who've been blessed by this church. Some of you, you know, you're just the best. You don't actually have biological kids, but you impress God on kids by talking to kids in the hallways or volunteering at some of our ministries. Like, I'm not going to go through all of our ministries again, but it's mostly volunteer supported. I'll also point out that a good chunks of the offerings that we give go to ministries and facilities that do exactly this. We impress God on kids. And I'm so thrilled about this because our country, our community, our world will be better off for the time you spend impressing God on the next generation. But today isn't, you know, everybody's day. It's Mother's Day. So today we honor women whose treasure and heart is in impressing God on kids. So I just want you to hear that moms, the countless lunches, all the meals, all the laundry, all the times your shoulders cried on, all the baseball games, all the volunteering and programs, what you do is important and it's worth it, and we honor you today. Because moms, your calling is nothing short of God-given, God-used, and there is nothing more important on your to-do list than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. So today we honor and thank you for doing just that. And as a community, we've got a lot of work to do to impress God on the children that we raise in this church. So Father in heaven, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for all the ways that you've shown us grace and you've influenced us. Father, today we thank you for moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles and chaperones and volunteers and just kind adults who love kids enough to impress God, to impress your love on them. I pray you'd help us to be wise, be good stewards of what you've given us. I pray that we would, as a church community, raise children who are stable, who have faith and hope and love, who have ethics and character, and have a stable foundation to face any storm that life may throw at them. I thank you for moms who work so hard, invest so much. I pray that they would see both rest and fruit from their labor as we follow you together. God bless us as we follow you. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.